Father, I give you thanks and praise as we come together to reflect on your word. We thank you, Father, that throughout history, that you have demonstrated your love and grace, and you have done it in our own hearts. And so today we acknowledge, Lord, that you continue to teach and guide your people. Father, I thank you for the scriptures you've given to us, and I pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you'll help us to be people who are not only hearers, but doers of the word. May your spirit teach us right now, and Father, may we grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read to you a review from a customer who stayed at a certain hotel, and he left this criticism at the end of his stay. He writes this. He says, "Awful. Stayed in a double suite, and it can only be described as awful. There's no mini bar. The rooms were small, and there's no satellite TV. I booked this room for our anniversary, and it was an absolute nightmare. I will never, ever stay here again. One star. I will not recommend this hotel." Here's another review of the same hotel, of the same room, in the same month. "Fantastic. Thanks so much for your wonderful hospitality. I booked this double suite for a holiday. It was far, far better than I expected. It was only a stroll from the beach. The rooms were air-conditioned and clean, and the breakfast each morning was absolutely delicious. I would highly recommend this hotel. 5 stars. You know, I find it confusing when researching a product, and I want to read the different reviews of various people. I actually have to factor in that different people look at the same product with different expectations. The only difference between having a wonderful holiday and a nightmare were the attitude of these two people. Last week, we saw how a Christian perspective helps us to deal with life and whatever life throws at us. But a Christian perspective alone does not change reality. People are still hurting, but it does change whether we live as victims whom the universe has conspired against, or whether we live as people who are to rejoice and delight in the good that we can see. This morning, the Apostle Paul explains the necessity of having Christian contentment. Contentment is a deep-seated peace and joy which doesn't come and go because of the events around us. The person who knows true contentment knows that he lives in a broken world and not in a fairyland. He knows there is sickness and disease and conflict and relationship problems. In other words, he knows that sin ruins everything it touches and is not surprised when these things come. Just as these two families responded differently to the same hotel because their expectations were different, the same could be said of us today. Some people view this world as a paradise, a place where our hearts can be fulfilled, our dreams and our hopes can be lived out, where sorrow and broken relationships and sickness and disease and death, they're simple anomalies. They're glitches that should not be there. Others with a biblical understanding actually view this world as sick and dying. They see suffering, sickness and regret as part of the ravage of this world, part of the sin. And they see joy and happiness and love and beauty as God's gracious gifts given to enjoy. These are the anomalies. And depending on which version you hold will determine whether you live your life filled with disappointment, constantly being let down here and there, or whether you experience a joy and a contentment that comes from the Lord God. According to the dictionary, Contentment is to experience a state of happiness after having everything you wanted. But that's precisely the problem of living in our world. We rarely have everything we want. Now, ironically, our passage on contentment begins with conflict in verse 2, as the Apostle Paul pleads with these women to put aside their differences and agree in the Lord. And the first thing we note is that they had their names written in the book of life. These are believers. And Paul calls them co-workers with him. These are godly ladies. But for some reason, they've shifted their focus from their blessings and from their ministry, and now we're focusing on whatever differences they may have. Division and strife and envy and bitterness, these things have derailed so many great people. Satan's ploys and his schemes are very effective when God's people look to the world for answers. Just think about the issues that you're struggling with today, the things that cause fights and arguments and strife. Satan's ploys are very effective to distract the people of God. Whatever issue was between these two women, the Apostle Paul uses it as a lesson to demonstrate how God's peace and contentment can be obtained in every situation. So Paul asks the members of the congregation to help these godly women. He calls on them, he says, to rejoice in the Lord. He reminds them of the Lord's nearness to them. Now, to rejoice in the midst of struggle is not simply to put on a happy face and pretend everything is just fine. It's actually a conscious decision to shift our focus from the problems that rob us from the joy and choose to focus on the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, blessings that you will never lose. The apostle is fully aware we live in a world with hardship and suffering. After all, he is writing this letter from prison. It was in that context, from a dungeon, that he says in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything," and then gives the secret to avoiding anxiety and worry. He says, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Over the last decade, there have been a massive increase in the rate of anxiety in our society. What's the problem? There are many issues, but one problem that keeps on sticking up is the problem of expectation. Some people call it entitlement. Because of social media, we now see people and what they have, the nice houses, their cars, and there's an issue of envy. There's also the expectation to fit in. There's the expectation to succeed. There's the expectation to be like others on Facebook or Twitter. And there are so many people who have wonderful talents of overlooking their own blessings and highlighting the gifts of others. Paul says in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything." This verse is often misquoted. For people who quote this verse often leave out two very important words, and they are the words "with thanksgiving." "With thanksgiving" helps us focus on the current blessings that we enjoy even amidst our trials. Even the Apostle Paul, sitting in prison, can focus on the thanksgiving that he has. God may not necessarily remove your obstacles, but he will give you such a contentment and such strength that he says it will transcend the world's understanding. That contentment is available to anyone in all circumstances when they fix their hearts and minds onto Christ. Now, someone may say, how do you get that peace? How do you stop being anxious about this and about that? How can I be thankful in the midst of my trials? Well, the Apostle Paul answers the questions in verses 8 and 9. It has to do with our focus. What do we focus on? A few years back, there was an Indian cricket captain who was charged with spot-fixing games for money. Many were shocked when the truth came out. And the question was asked, why would a man at the top of his profession, with more money than he could live for hundreds of lifetimes, a man with fame and glory, why would he risk everything for a measly amount of money? And the answer was simple. It was his focus. He did not look to what he already had. He owned many luxury cars, expensive watches. He owned a large yacht, a mansion, and he had stacks of money. But his focus was on the money he didn't have. And therefore, he went from being content to discontent. He was still looking to money to find contentment. And that led to his downfall. If only he had read Ecclesiastes 5, where Solomon says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. The Apostle Paul says, do you want peace and contentment? Do you want joy in your life? Focus on these things instead. Whatever's true, noble, right, pure, if anything's excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things and the God of peace will be with you. This is not some mumbo jumbo stuff that we sit up in the Himalayas and chant away. This is actually real world stuff. Worry and anxiety and fear constantly rob us of the joy and the peace that God wants us to have. And it means we need to focus on the things that God has given to us. And the Apostle Paul uses himself as an example of someone who has shifted his focus from his difficult situation and therefore was able to rejoice. He was able to experience true joy and to know real contentment. True, he was still in the dungeon. True, he was still not sure whether he would survive beyond the next day. And yet he writes in verse 10, I rejoice greatly. Paul isn't someone who puts on a fake smile. On the contrary, this shows us that even within our present difficulties and struggles, we can have true contentment. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, I wish I could have that. I wish I could know the peace of God. I wish I could have contentment even in the midst of my trials. Well, the Apostle Paul shows us how we can't have it. He says in verse 11, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. And just in case we missed that, he repeats it in verse 12. He says, I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in need. This is the same Paul who in 2 Corinthians 11 says this, I've been in prison, I've been flogged severely, I've been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned and left for dead. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I've been cold and naked. We can safely say that his advice comes from someone who has experienced hardship and suffering. But before we start praising Paul for his stoic attitude and godliness, he tells us this is all achieved through Jesus. Verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. It's not anything to do with Paul. It's got to do with Christ who gives it. contentment comes from focusing on who we are in Christ and being reminded of what he has achieved for us, that our security is in Christ Jesus and not in the things we own. And that is why the most contented people in the world are generally not the wealthiest. One of the greatest lies that has caused untold misery is that we can only be content when we can have what we think will make us happy. That's kept people searching for decades in the wrong place. The Bible tells us contentment in life is only found when we focus on Christ, on his blessings, drawing upon his strength. And the world tells us that real happiness is found in the things we must possess. And you know, we can possess everything we ever wanted and at the end have nothing. The disciples try to get Jesus to live that way. When he spent a whole morning in the mountain speaking with his father, the disciples tracked him down and found him and told him, there's work to be done. People are calling for you. They're searching for you. Come, Lord, there's much to do. And Jesus calmly said, come, let us go to another village to preach there as well. He would not be rushed. You will not find a single passage in the New Testament where Jesus is rushed. There was an American businessman who was at the pier of a small coastal Mexican village. A small boat with just one fisherman docked. Inside the boat were several large yellowfin tuna. The businessman complimented the Mexican on the quality of the fish and asked how long it took him to catch them. The Mexican said, oh, only a couple of hours. The businessman then asked, why didn't you stay longer and catch more fish? The Mexican said, I've got enough to support my family's immediate needs. The businessman then asked, but what do you do with the rest of your time? The fisherman said, well, I sleep in, I fish a little, I play with my children, I take siesta with my wife, Maria, I stroll into the village, sip wine, play my guitar with my amigos. I have a full life. The businessman laughed and said, well, you're glad I'm here. I'm a university graduate. You obviously need my help. Look, if you spend more time fishing, with the proceeds, you can buy bigger boats. Eventually, you can have a fleet of boats. And instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you can open your own cannery. Imagine that. You can control the production, the processing, and the distribution. And the fisherman asked, but senor, how long would this take? The businessman replied, 20 to 30 years. But what then? He asked. And the businessman laughed and said, well, that's the best part. When the time is right, you'd sell your stock and become very rich. You'd make millions. What then? He asked. Well, you can retire. You could do whatever you wanted to do. You could sleep in. You could fish. You could take siesta with your wife. You could stroll to the village. You could sip wine and play your guitar with your amigos. And the fisherman smiled politely, shaking his head in amazement, leaving the genius to ponder his own advice. That's our world. That's the world we live in. It's dangerous and deadly. It puts people on a treadmill, and many are on that treadmill today, searching for something that was always beyond their reach. How foolish it is for those who have eyes to see the truth and yet who are on the treadmill, searching for things that Christ gives freely. The world can only give a brief and momentary relief. It can only give a happiness that vanishes like a mist. But Paul says, here is a secret. The peace of God and the contentment, these are found in Christ in any and every circumstance. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, contentment is possible as we shift our focus from all the things we don't have and look to Jesus, who gives generously and freely. Whenever we're worried, whenever we're anxious, these are indicators we've shifted our focus, just like the two ladies in the opening part of this passage. Have we learned the secret of contentment? That instead of being anxious about anything, that we take our problems to God and with thanksgiving count our blessings, looking to him who has written our names in the book of life and are able to rejoice in any and every circumstance. The Lord says in Isaiah 5, he asks the people, what more can I do? What more can I do than I have done for them? For us today in the New Testament, he has done even more. He has given us his Son. He has given us forgiveness for all of our sin. He has reconciled us with the Father. He has revealed to you and me the good news of the gospel. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us his church as a support and encouragement. He's given us his word, his very great and precious promise. He's given us his power and wisdom to live by. And as he'd given to these two women, he has written our names in the book of life and given us eternity through Jesus. Who can be aware of all of that and still be dejected because their Xbox is broken? Who can be aware of the eternity with God and be anxious because the world does not accept them? Who can know the peace of God, which passes understanding, and continue to hold grudges about tiny things that matter nothing in eternity? I pray the Lord may remind us again of all that he's achieved for his people. Without minimizing people's difficulties and struggles, the Bible tells us that God gives grace that meets our every trial. And we too can say with Paul, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. How sad would it be if those, like those two women in the opening verse, we allowed our difficulties to rob us of the contentment and the joy and the peace that ought to be ours. May you know true peace and true contentment in your life today as you focus on God's eternal blessings for you that come freely through Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for reminding us again of all that you've given to us, all the many, many blessings. Father, I pray that you will help us to find contentment, not in the things around us. Father, for the arguments and fights and the strife that distract us from the things that we should be focused on, forgive us for those. Father, we pray that you may help us to be good counters, people who will count their blessings. And so, Father, we pray that peace that passes all understanding, the contentment that these may be ours, not through possessions, but through Jesus and his many, many blessings. In his name we pray. Amen. I have to